Hello, it's Bernie here. Evidently, Bill and Randy want me to tell you people that you shouldn't listen to the show at work or in front of kids because they're swearing. Swearing in the show. There's a few fucks, a few shits, and some words I can't even pronounce. And I'm almost sure that they are drunk, but they're still not part of the 2%. What are they going to play now? Loud music? Jesus, I don't need this crap.
Young William. Oh, the Bill Show is just not complete without Bill.
Well,
and there you are.
and there I am. Oh, my God. And
there
my,
you are.
Tropical William, shirt.
It's so good to see you. And the listeners at home, they hear me say that, even though they're only listening to the audio. We're actually looking at each other.
We're looking at each other. We are.
Through the wonders of modern technology and Zoom. And you're what? 300 kilometers away.
Yeah, no. It's an amazing
100 miles, yeah. There you go.
At least once a month so far of doing one of these. What, 10 years now? 10 years doing this. So
must be longer. 2011.
Oh, my God.
Second Obama election against Mitt Romney.
That's right. And it hasn't made the slightest bit of difference. Nothing. It made no difference. I don't know why we do it. Why do we do it?
We had another 4 years of Obama and hit those beautiful, erudite, golden tones of that man.
Yeah, that's back when our president was cool.
And smart.
And smart. No.
Well, and hell, speak in public.
Oh, he could. He could speak it. What do you mean? I could speak it in public. I could do it really well. Have you seen Trump on the? I'm getting sick just thinking about it. Have you seen? Did you see Trump in Pennsylvania?
No. Are you going to?
He's calling his wife Mercedes. He couldn't
even get his wife's name right.
Mercedes. It was Mercedes. I mean, suddenly
malaria. Yeah.
Digressing into this, and he just mopes around, and it's like streaming. And I tell you something, I like little rabbits. Rabbits very nice. You know what else I like? Kangaroos. I love the kangaroos. You know, you just like you went to a nursing home. It's just like, you know, all he needs is a raincoat because he's just dribbling the shit. And then when you know he's lost his pain of thought, he just locks into the, you know, the phraseology, all the slogans, you know, that, and we're number one. We're going to make it better again. We're going to stop the immigrants. And he's just going through this list. What else did he say? Kill the Jews. Yeah, we're going to do that. You know, anyway. So there's a lot been going on, and
he's cray cray, Willie. I don't know. Is he going to lose it completely?
I think he's lost it already, but we've been saying that for 2 years now. We've been sitting there from Australia. You know, we're like the guys on the overpass, and you're way over there, but we have binoculars and we look and we go, can't you see that he's crazy? And we've been saying that since 2016. And I came from New York. I lived in New York, man. He was fucking crazy then. He was crazy in 1986. That's how long. I hate this guy. So anyway.
Willie, you know who I saw this week?
Who?
Kamala Harris.
My God.
He actually came out. He was talking about...
Do we have two more weeks of spring?
No, she was talking about Gaza. She was talking about Gaza, and she was making a
policy point. Did she see her shadow?
No, she was making a policy point for the United States.
Yeah.
And I went, wow, I haven't seen you in years.
Yeah, I thought she had been... I don't know what I thought. It was rather ugly.
Is she being groomed?
Yeah,
is
I don't know groomed? Where she was, man. It was like...
No. Is she being groomed? I mean, are they...
I hope they take her out, man. They got to take her out. Jesus Christ. You know, because she's great on the stump. She's a really good player on the stump. Anyway, listen.
I mean, she was a lawyer.
She was a lawyer. I remember watching her...
A prosecutor, grilling,
yeah. grilling a witness in the U.S. Senate. And I'll tell you, man, you wanted to be anyone but him. You know, and Kamala was fantastic. I don't know why she's going to have to come out and kick some ass. I think that's basically what's going to happen.
Well, that anyway, must be folks, what they're doing. That's what they're doing, I hope.
I'm going to start us off with the news, Randy. So let's love the news. Let's have some news theme.
Fix it in post, Bill.
Fix it in post, orchestra. Thank you. They do such a good job, ladies and gentlemen. First story that we're I wanted to talk about today, or at least report on in my own special way, is this is the first story, and I named it "Oops, it's the Russians."
Oops, the Russians are coming.
Who would have known? The GOP has shown itself to be part of a foreign conspiracy to bring down the U.S. government. Just saying. The basic gist of the story is this. A shadowy ex-FBI informant with ties to Russia has been arrested and charged with giving false information to the FBI. But not before the alleged lies were used by Republicans to publicly accuse Joe Biden and his son of bribery. They're trying to impeach him with information they got from... And could I have a drum roll, please? Could I have a drum roll? Didn't you know it was true? From... Russian intelligence! Yay!
Well, there's an oxymoron for you.
No, I think they're doing pretty good, actually. You know, I'll tell you something.
Artificial intelligence, yeah.
I'll tell you something. That is just... you could knock me over with a feather. And then I find out that the guy who's the double agent, you know what his name is? Not that you would know he was, like, Russian intelligence. His name was... Alexander Smirnov. Yes, that's right. The name of the most infamous traitor causing the impeachment of a sitting president is on the label of the vodka that you're looking at now. You know, Alexander Smirnov, why didn't you just call him Dr. No? You know, seriously. Alexander Smirnov was there. Hello, my name is Alexander Smirnov. Of course it is. Who should be awarded the most obvious name for Russian intelligence operative ever. Literally leaked phony evidence to the Republicans directly from Vladimir Putin's FSB to smear President Biden in the 2024 political presidential contest. Jim Jordan, head of the impeachment investigation, affirmed the conspiracy with a foreign power. He confirmed that they have conspired with a foreign power, and they admitted it today by saying, "It's true. I'm a scum-sucking traitorous weasel. It's a miracle that I haven't been put up against the wall and shot. But that ain't gonna happen because me and my buddies are gonna skull fuck the Constitution till it bleeds out in the street and we can install a fascist authoritarian dictatorship. Then I'm gonna put my feet up on the coffee table and skull a few brewskis with Kavanaugh and the Supreme Court. USA! USA!" That's exactly what he said. And if it...
I have no doubt.
That's exactly what he said. And then he threw up on my shoes. A group of corrupt, bought-off lawyers. Who could those people be? Oh, the Supreme Court. Of course. Were asked to judge whether the 14th Amendment, which prohibited those who stage an insurrection from running for president, would ban Donald Trump for running after he, staged an insurrection. By the way, do you recall the insurrection? I don't think a lot of people recall the insurrection. Randy, I would like to.
I think January 6th is almost as auspicious a date as 9/11.
I think it is true. Do you recall the sounds of that insurrection? I'm not sure. They're kind of thinking of it as not an insurrection. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go back
Hang him!
Yeah, let's go back to memory. Here we go. There is some sounds of the not insurrection.
Hey, brother, we're boots on the ground here. We're moving on to Capitol now. I'll give you a boots on the ground update here in a few.
Multiple Capitol injuries! We're still taking metal, sharpened objects, missiles, to include bottles and rocks, and hand-thrown chemical-grade fireworks.
Yeah, that can't be an insurrection, Randy.
No.
That's a summer camp going to say hi.
Well, yeah, two-thirds of them weren't college educated.
Yeah, no. We're college educated. They were smart guys.
Showed, yeah. So,
however, you'll never guess this. You know, I know you do because you read the news. The 14th Amendment, which prohibited those who stage an insurrection and wanted to ban Donald Trump from running for it because he, you know, staged an insurrection. The court has voted 9-0 that, well, the insurrection never happened.
It was unanimous.
9-0. You dreamed it. The court also asserted that the four people who died on January 6th didn't die at all. Judge Clarence Thomas said they are sleeping. They'll come around in a few days. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is the dead parrot sketch. Judge Clarence Thomas voting against the idea that what happened that day was anything like an insurrection. It wasn't.
All they're doing is really interpreting the 14th Amendment to say that what happened on January 6th is not what they talk about in that. It's not like the American Civil War.
Well, no, it wasn't the Civil War, but acts of insurrection. I don't know. I think that's pretty insurrection oriented.
I think so.
I don't know. Threatening to kill the vice president and interrupting the balance of power. What the fuck else do you have to do? I mean, really, seriously, you know, and I'll say it again. What does a white person have to do in America to go to fucking jail? That's the motto of this show for a very long time. I'll further go on. It's the motto of the show.
Ouch.
I know. Terrible. In other court news, Donald Trump has maintained that a president has total immunity for prosecution for anything he does
while he's president.
I'm fucking serious. And I can fly as well. I can fly.
That's horseshit.
I live in the land of a judge. This is what the court is thinking about judging, because this is in itself an absurdity, because it posits that you guys don't live in a democracy, or that the rule of law doesn't exist. Yet the quorum of a Trump appointed Supreme Court have announced that they're going to have to think about it. I'm not sure. Do we have a democracy or is there a king? So this is what happened. They wouldn't rule on it. They sent it back to the appeals court, which unanimously said that presidents weren't in fact kings. And then They ruled against him 3-0. 3-0. You know, we solved that problem in 1776. Now Trump's lawyers have taken it back to the Supreme Court, and you'd think that being that would be a pressing issue for the court, you know, with an election coming up. But the court, including an associate justice who was complicit in the January 6th non-insurrection, has pushed the trial proceedings to April, despite the fact that the court is fully capable of ruling quickly, as they did in the year 2000, where it took only 4 days. The court has pushed up the date, so there is no guarantee that they will rule before the election.
Yep.
Get this through your head, guys. The court and the refs have been bought off. This is the most dangerous thing. There's no joke here. You better be prepared to fight on the fucking street. The court that says what's right and wrong has been bought off. People with unlimited money have bought one of the two political parties who can run for office in the United States of America. And there's more than enough evidence that the leader of that party is an asset for a foreign power. The system has literally put democracy in the United States in that terrible moment when you're in, you know, you're like, you're playing chess and someone says check. And then there's a moment and then he moves again and it's checkmate. Seriously, we're talking real Eastern Europe shit. And I sit there, Randy, and I hear these people saying, Biden is like really old. He's really old. What the fuck is wrong with you? Are you out of your mind? It just makes me crazy. Ali Velshi has a... I'm sorry, I'm just going off, guys.
No, Willie, I was enjoying that.
Ali Velshi has a show on MSNBC, and he's one of the few really progressive voices. And Velshi did a show on what Trump says he'll do when he's elected. Now, this is not... Guys, this is a liberal show, and we've been doing it for 10 years. No one cares, but I'm an old lefty, and so's Randy. So, yes, it's coming from the... But everything that he says in this is based on what Trump has either said or is planning or has tried to do. Everything. So I need you to listen to this. Because
this is the first week. This is the first week of manifesto, right? I'm going to do these things.
These are the things that he says we're going to do. There's an actual, by the way, the Heritage Foundation, a well-funded conservative think tank, is working on this, and it's called Project 2025. It's an actual plan.
Yeah.
By the way, if you're in Massachusetts and you think your abortion rights are okay, think again. Because they're going to go for the whole enchilada and they'll get it. They'll throw back Social Security. They'll get it. And the worst thing of all, they will drill and completely reverse any effort to curb climate change, which means this planet goes up in a ball of in 10, 30 years. It'll be a shitstorm. This is what they're saying. If America goes back on this, then there's no encouragement, and we have right-wing dictators like Putin who don't give a fuck about the environment. Man, 20 years from now, forget your stock options, pal. You're dead. You're going to have wars over arable land and water. You're going to have immigration problems in 20 years that are going to – it's going to – the whole place is going to go to shit. And I'm not – it's not me saying this. It's literally climatologists and people who work for NASA. Here's Ali Velshi. I really want you guys to listen to this because we outside America, we're like, you guys are driving. And right now Biden's driving okay. But the drunk wants to take over the wheel again. And we're in the back seat. Whatever happens, whatever you do affects us. Like, you think China's going to leave Taiwan alone if Trump withdraws from the Ukraine? No, no, no. That means, like, we're next door. Hi. And we just decided we were your best allies. Now, who knows? Here's Velshi.
All right, picture this. America is at war, except it's not World War III, and we have no allies reaching out to help because we've abandoned NATO. The National Guard is patrolling big cities, blue cities in particular, doing things like rounding up the homeless. Kids are once again separated from their parents in mass deportations. Everything is more expensive, much worse than it is now, thanks to new taxes on foreign goods. The air you breathe is heavy, and it hurts your lungs because we've abandoned all efforts to curtail fossil fuel emissions while we drill, drill, drill. Disinformation has effectively wiped out the remnants of real journalism. The U.S. Constitution has been chewed up and spat out. Donald Trump is our president again. This is not an exaggeration. It is not fear-mongering, nor is it a series of my assumptions. That picture I just painted is based on what Donald Trump has already done, has tried to do, or has openly promised to do with a second term as the leader of this nation. We do not have to imagine a world like this. We just have to believe Trump, take him at his word when he says the quiet parts out loud. Let's start with climate change. If Donald Trump is president again, he will roll back any of the progress made by the Biden administration. He's made it clear he plans to, quote, drill, baby, drill on his first day in office. On the campaign trail, Trump has identified boosting oil and gas output as his main priority. Trump's advisors and allies have said that the clean initiatives in Biden's crowning achievement, the Inflation Reduction Act, are the first on the chopping block, specifically the bill's support of electric vehicles. And based on the fact that while in office, Trump pulled the U.S. out of the Paris Climate Accords, safe to say he'd likely do it again. On immigration, just this week, while visiting the U.S.-Mexico border, Trump said he would use local police to implement his plan for mass deportations, something that is illegal under current law. He vowed to launch the, quote, largest deportation operation in American history if reelected. In a CNN town hall last May, Trump did not rule out reviving his family separation policy in which migrant children were separated from their parents and many of them put in cages. And of course, he will want to try and build that wall again. Donald Trump has said he will not only revive his Muslim travel ban, but expand it to, quote, keep radical Islamic terrorists out of the country. And if you're unhappy with how the Israel-Gaza situation is currently being handled, which is valid, here's what Donald Trump plans to do. In the wake of the Hamas attack on Israel, Trump called for, quote, strong ideological screening for all immigrants coming into the country. He'd bar any potential refugees from Gaza, saying, quote, we aren't bringing in anyone from Gaza, Syria, Somalia, Yemen, or Libya, or anywhere else that threatens our security. And let's not forget the damage Trump has already done to this conflict. In 2017, he reversed decades of U.S. policy and formally recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Anger erupted amongst Palestinians and the Arab world. Protests and deadly confrontations broke out in Gaza and the West Bank. Jerusalem is home to Muslim, Jewish, and Christian holy sites and is bitterly contested between the Israelis and the Palestinians. That move needlessly stirred yet more conflict in an already volatile region. Back home, Trump plans to crack down on crime by sending the National Guard into big cities. In a recent speech in Iowa, Trump said when he was president, he considered, but ultimately held back from deploying the military to, quote, crime dens like Chicago and New York City. He said next time around, he won't have the same restraint. On inflation, Trump has floated the idea of a 10% universal baseline tariff on foreign goods imported into the United States. Experts say that inflation would spike, so if you think things cost a lot now, just wait. Not to mention that a trade war would likely ensue. Speaking of war and global instability, you can bet Donald Trump will reevaluate America's position in NATO, if not abandon it altogether. Trump has long undermined the greatest military alliance in the history of the world, the one that caused foreign soldiers to fight and die for America after the attacks on 9/11. In February, Trump said he would encourage Russia to, quote, do whatever the hell they want to another NATO ally that is not contributing enough defense spending. Donald Trump will weaponize the Department of Justice to go after his political enemies. He said it over and over and over again. Retribution for those who have wronged him. He's told wild, screaming crowds of supporters that he will direct the DOJ to investigate, quote, every Marxist prosecutor in America. He's vowed to root out the, quote, radical left thugs that live like vermin within the confines of our country, end quote. Live like vermin. Just last week, he told a crowd at CPAC that his re-election would be Liberation Day for his supporters and Judgment Day for his enemies. All of this is sick and twisted, but here's the one that gets me the most. In 2022, in yet another screed about fictitious election fraud, Trump posted on Truth Social saying in part, quote, a massive fraud of this type and magnitude allows for the termination of all rules, regulations, and articles, even those found in the Constitution. Even those found in the Constitution. Trump later said he never suggested terminating the Constitution, a complete denial of his own social media post, which is still online. What more can we expect from a man who openly admitted that he plans to be a dictator on day one of a potential second presidency? And let me be clear, everything that I just laid out, all of the things that Donald Trump has promised to do as president, that doesn't even scratch the surface. David Frum writes in an Atlantic piece titled The Danger Ahead, quote, in his first term, Trump's corruption and brutality were mitigated by his ignorance and his laziness. In a second, Trump would arrive with a much better understanding of the system's vulnerabilities, more willing enablers in tow, and a much more focused agenda of retaliation against his adversaries and impunity for himself. When people wonder what another Trump term might hold, their minds underestimate the chaos that would lie ahead.
Yeah, that's Ali Velshi from MSNBC, and all those things. He based it on what he's saying.
Yeah, that I've heard all of those things separately, but I've never heard them all in one tsunami of shit.
Yeah, no.
I mean, that's I almost had to stop listening because everyone was compounding the previous one.
Yeah,
then finally saying, you know, I'm going to be a dictator. For the first week I'm in office,
if Trump is elected again, the fate of the world is in peril. Not just your place, if you're listening to us in the United States, not just your place, all of us. So that means you got to play that. Seriously. It should be on a loop. It should be on a loop, and everybody should be forced to listen to it.
Well, send me a copy. I'll do it every
day. 6 minutes of listening to that every day to know. Yeah. And play it for your friends. Play it for your Trump guys. This is just what the fuckers said. You know? So okay, we'll be back in a moment with Randy's rant. We'll have something humorous. Till then, we'll be back in just a moment, guys.
Bye.
Welcome, welcome one and all to The Late Show. I'm your host, Stephen Colbert. We all know what day it is. It's Leap Day, a magical 24-hour period that every 4 years emerges from the mist like Brigadoon. And for that one magical day, you can do anything you want because no laws apply, evidently, according to the Supreme Court. Because this morning, when I excitedly ran down to open my leap presents under the time tree, I found out the Supreme Court has decided to hear Trump's immunity claim, further delaying his January 6th trial in the landmark case of People versus Do Laws Matter? Seriously, what is going on? Justice deferred is justice gutted like a fish and thrown into the river for chum. One more of these steaming turds, and I swear to God, on the ghost of John Marshall, I will drive to Washington and rub my ass on your gavels. There you go. Here's the deal. Back on, December 11th? On December 11th, Jack Smith begged the Supreme Court to rule on this issue in a timely manner because his case is critical to our democracy. The justices replied, we don't feel like it, and sent the issue down to an appeals court. That court ruled against Trump vigorously and unanimously. Trump appealed, and for 16 days, SCOTUS didn't say jack until yesterday. But even then, it was merely to schedule arguments for the week of April 22nd and say proceedings in the trial court would remain frozen. That makes it a total of 19 weeks of delays. These proceedings have been frozen for so long, they legally count as children in Alabama. This is not a tough call. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. This is not a tough call, folks. The appeals court ruled 3-0 against Trump's claim that presidents have total immunity from prosecution, rejecting his lawyer's claim that the former president could not have been prosecuted even if he ordered SEAL Team 6 to assassinate a political rival unless Trump were also impeached and convicted by the Senate. Kind of weird that SCOTUS feels the need to consider whether or not laws exist. A quick reminder to the court, be careful how you rule on this one because SEAL Team 6 currently works for Joe Biden. And remember the old saying, remember the Chinese proverb, revenge is a dish best served old. And it gets worse because the oral arguments are in April, but court watchers don't expect a decision until June. And the trial judge has promised the defense 88 days after that to prepare, meaning the trial could now be delayed until late September or October, plunging the proceedings into the heart of the election. That is terrible news for democracy, but fantastic news for television. All of the plot lines will come together at once for the thrilling conclusion of America. You've got the trial of the century alongside the most important election of our lifetime, followed by the season 2 premiere of Tracker. Tracker, he'll find your keys.
Gentlemen, it's time to keep your hands and feet inside the vehicle at all times, because it's time once again for Randy's Rant.
Now tell me, Bill, you're voting for the primary this weekend?
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. And by the way, if you're listening to this show, this is March 5th. And the international global primary is going to be, which we're recording this on a Tuesday, it's going to be on a Saturday in Melbourne, Australia, from 10 a.m. till 12 in Melbourne. Go to the Democrats Abroad website if you want to vote in your primary. So just a little public service announcement there for you.
And why is that important?
Well, I think it is important that you show the colors of the, you know, the expat colors. Is even more important that people remember that they have to vote. They cannot stay at home, no matter where you are, no matter what you do, especially if you're hosting a show like ours. You know, you have to vote. And
put your money where your mouth is.
Put the money where their mouth is. I mean, I'm going to be volunteering, doing maybe a little work for Democrats Abroad at the polling place this weekend. So.
Yeah, and come November, hopefully everybody here is registered for their absentee ballot. And
absolutely, and not only that, you know, one of the number of things, if you're in America listening to this, which most of the people who do listen to us are in America, postcards, man, postcards, send postcards. I mean, really, seriously, find out one thing that you can do every week, and volunteer for your local Democratic organization. And get out there and just start working, mate. Start working. Because it's already started here, in which Democrats Abroad have been organizing a lot of volunteer activities and getting in touch with voters. So it's that time again. So, and there's no choice this time. There's no choice.
This has not been a paid political announcement.
I get nothing.
By Democrats Abroad. It's
we get nothing from this podcast, believe me. All right.
Am I still a donor?
Randy, I think you are the one donor. All right. So Randy, give it to us now.
Okay. Look, I'll tell you this. That was so depressing.
Yes.
What Trump has planned in his manifesto for the first day or week or whatever, you know, come January 20th or whatever, 2025.
Yeah.
If he is elected.
If he's elected.
If he hasn't tried to steal the election again.
Yeah.
Because I can see them already getting ready for another insurrection.
They'll try it again.
Yeah, no, that's really scary. They got to shoot this time. They cannot allow the rape of the Capitol building again. The rape of American democracy. They can't.
Foot dragging.
I mean, it's the only time I've ever.
Yeah. You know, in South America, I think it was in Chile, they had this a very similar thing happen. It stormed the representative government. You know, all the leaders of that are in fucking jail. They're in fucking jail now. And yeah. Merrick Garland, what a fucking useless unit this guy was, sitting on his hands for fucking ever. I mean, Jesus Christ, there were literally months in which nothing was done against Trump. And now we're getting right up against the date of the election. And because Merrick Garland waited so fucking long, now the Supreme Court, which is stacked with Trump appointees, has the power to put off the key prosecution of leaking sensitive documents, of literally stealing and committing fucking treason.
Yeah,
going to be after the election. Going to be after the election. And you know what's
that? Yeah.
And the one thing that will probably go to trial is paying off Stormy Daniels. That's from what I hear. That's probably the one that's going
to. The only thing that's actually going to make it to trial. Yeah.
And if he wins, and I'm not putting it past him, if he wins, we're fucked. It's the last election we'll ever have. Your turn. I'm just through cheering you up. Good night, everybody.
Willie, that's okay.
I do children's parties, you know. Yes.
The CEO of Kellogg's.
Yes.
Has had a huge backlash for suggesting that people should eat cereal for dinner to save money.
Really?
You know, there's a huge, huge cost of living thing going on over there.
Yeah.
Now, it may have been a common meal during your college days.
Yeah.
When you decided to have a change from instant ramen.
Yeah.
Or perhaps you still indulge in it when you don't have time to cook a full meal.
Yeah.
Now, cereal for dinner can be filling, satisfying, and even good for you as long as you choose the right one. Now, healthy whole grain cereals are packed with fiber, complex carbohydrates, vitamins, and minerals, just like the ads say. Now, eating cereal with a bowl of regular milk, almond milk, or coconut milk before bed will actually improve your sleep.
Really?
Because digesting it, your energy is focused on digesting that complex food. It'll provide you with energy the next day and help your body recover after a workout. And also, you'll be able to take a really hell of a good dump in the morning. Now, the negatives of cereal, of course, is most of the brands, like Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Fruit Loops, Sugar Frosted Flakes, they're great.
Yeah,
contain huge amounts of sugar.
Yeah.
They're all sugar.
Yeah.
They're worse than Coca-Cola. Now, they're the ones you should avoid. Now, I really love it. I picked this topic last week, and after I did, the Australian media did the story. And so I thought I'd grab a little bit of theirs because, of course, they have bigger production values than I do. So, young Bill, would you push the button?
Yes.
Play the track that you have there.
Is this from the project?
Yeah, the project.
Okay,
it's an evening panel news show.
Yeah,
comes on at 7:00. So it's news, but it's with a panel of people, including journalists, comedians, and various other things. So they always have something lighthearted. This was their lighthearted one from a couple of days ago.
Okay, here it is. This is cereal for eating. With the project. Here it is.
When I say cereal, you say dinner. Cereal.
Dinner!
Cereal.
Dinner!
Chicken!
You can have the night off, chicken.
Oh, okay. I'll go marinate.
Cereal.
Dinner!
Cereal.
Dinner!
Thank
Thank you, Gary Pilnick, the multimillionaire CEO of Kellogg's America, for suggesting that families fight the cost of living crisis by eating cereal for dinner. I personally can't believe how genius it is. It was delicious. Now, strangely, the suggestion, guys, I'm still eating. This is a bad decision. Hasn't been received well in the US, where inflation prices on groceries have hit 30-year highs. But here in Oz, a country also struggling with cozy lives, this is our opportunity to go absolutely crunchy nuts. I think it's just right. Okay. I spent all day on that one. Now, in the past, we've ignored terrific advice from wonderful rich people. That was a mistake, okay? Rich people know better than us idiots, okay? Remember when Joe Hockey said to buy our first home, we just had to get a good job? Genius. Or when the RBA said we could reduce our rent by finding housemates or living with our parents? It's brilliant. Or when Montgomery Burns said, see my vest, made a real gorilla chest. So that one was a little off topic, but you see my point. All right? See this for what it is, our chance to Cocoa Pop ourselves out of poverty by eating cereal for dinner. And think of the exciting new dinner-themed spin-offs this could yield. Fried rice bubbles. Fruit Loop soup. Or Sultana Branchovies with mushroom pasta.
Oh, no.
And guys, no, and why stop at dinner, okay? Why not power your car with Rice Krispies? Replace expensive medicines with Sustain, and for thrills, you can take Special K on the weekends. Oh, no. Or let Tony the Tiger sleep with your wife. Sure, it's not the Tony your wife wants to sleep with. But trust me, it'll be better for your relationship in the long run. Also, and I don't know if you guys know this, Gary from Kellogg banked about $6 million last year alone. Now, was it from hard work? No. It's probably because the dude was at his breakfast bar saving cash by punching Honey Smacks every goddamn night. That or performance bonuses. Who knows? Finally, and this is going to blow your mind, the original purpose of cornflakes, this is crazy, was to stop people from self-pleasuring. That's real. Look it up. I did today and they took my computer off me at work. And now, hopefully, also cornflakes can stop you from enjoying another form of meat and tube.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. Maybe cereal is a possibility, Randy. Well, I don't know.
I think all brand for dinner. You're going to be making a Dutch oven under the doona. That's for sure.
That's true, though. But I'll tell you, that'll keep you regular, dude.
Oh, well, you don't want to be that regular.
Just you don't love being regular.
Brownies in bed. Yeah, that's terrible. Well.
Yeah.
But it is true that eating something that requires you to digest at night,
yes,
will have you sleep better.
Well, I'm going to do that.
That's easy to digest. Here's another one. You know, Dr. Kellogg,
yes,
who had a sanatorium,
yeah,
in Battle Creek, Michigan, did invent breakfast cereal, including cornflakes, Dr. Kellogg's cornflakes.
Yeah, good man.
And one of the main thing was is to avoid self-abuse, masturbation, and those kind of breakfast cereals are meant to do that.
Masturbating?
Well, that's what that was, self-abuse.
Why is Tony the Tiger so happy then? I don't get it.
I don't know. Or how about that? The Fruit Loops toucan, he's really getting on. Yeah,
he's getting on. He's gone blind.
Oh, the cocoa pop monkeys. Yeah. Oh, Cocolicious. There's a lot of.
I'm Tony the Tiger, and I'm blind. Okay. What else you got, buddy?
I was going to have a serious discussion, and I've decided because of the. Bit of a, no, we'll call it a downer.
The upper that I started with.
The profound impact of that speaker in the first half. I thought I would go light on what I was going to talk about. I had a social media duel between me and another chap about Ukraine getting a lion's share of the foreign aid budget.
Was he American? 66. Was he with America?
Oh, yeah. American, yeah. And, he was, full-on MAGA, I reckon, looking at some of his other posts. And he was saying that the Senate, even though they voted 79 to 20-something to 21 to give Ukraine this money, he says they're just beggars and they don't deserve it. And we should just cut those kind of people loose. Now, what do you want to do? Do you want to send American lives over there? Now, in Afghanistan, we lost nearly 2,500 American lives.
Yes.
Yeah, mainly young men, but quite a few young women. Now, even though 1,900 of those were hostile, 500 of them were, I assume, non-hostile or friendly fire. So that's really a high percentage. Now, that really worried me when I read that stat. Well,
the whole idea is that since World War II, as FDR said, we are the arsenal of democracy.
Oh, the world police. Yeah.
Team and, America. Well, no, police. No. Yeah. We're not the what we're trying to do in this situation is to allow them to defend themselves.
Exactly.
And,
I think
so that we don't, you know, so America won't have to get involved in another land war in Europe. And
if
we withdraw, it is more than, you know, more than logical to think that Putin, after going into Crimea, after going into Ukraine, that he won't stop. And there's no reason to think he won't.
Go for Hungary, Czechoslovakia, or Czech Republic, and whatever the other half is called.
Yeah.
And Slovenia, and where malaria is from. All of those countries that were in the former USSR.
That's right.
Once in the new USSR. You know, I agree with that. But my point is what price an American life? Now, I don't like to put a bounty on it, but if they give $60 billion to Ukraine to fight their battle, we may not have to send American lives in there. And I said that to this guy. I said, what price do you want to put on sending Americans in there? And he seemed to infer that he thinks we should go in there and kick Putin's ass. Well, I don't want to do that. I'd rather give the money to somebody else and let them fight.
How old is this schmuck?
Oh, I don't know. It would have been my age. He wasn't young.
Yeah, yeah. So he was well informed.
Yeah, he was
if he's our age, man, he's not going to be doing any fighting whatsoever.
He's going to send
his kids to do it. You know, he's a fucking programmable meatbag. I avoid contact with these people because they're fucking idiots. They're just fucking idiots. You might as well fucking argue with a chair. Before Trump came along, this guy
I do that all the time. But you're right.
But yeah, you know, I mean, it's before Trump came along and, you know, Putin influenced the Republican Party, this guy would have been on board with everything. Everything. Yeah. He just repeats what's been told to him, you know. And quite frankly, you're not worth my time. And if I, you know, if I had any authority, you wouldn't be allowed to vote, let alone use power tools.
Can we? I would rather have compulsory voting in America like we do here in Australia.
Oh, right, absolutely. Then we'd win every time.
The 25% would all sort of like spit the dummy and say, I won't have a vaccine and I won't vote. But if we could get 75% of Americans to vote, that would be a big change because they're usually 60 or below percent.
It is your obligation to vote.
It should be. Your democratic
obligation. The very least you can do. It's the very least.
It should be.
What else you got, buddy?
That's all I want to say. There is a movie coming out shortly.
Sure.
Called The Civil War. It's just called Civil War. I sent Bill the trailer to have a look at. It stars Kirsten Dunst, and I don't know anybody else.
It's scary as all get out. I might play the audio for that right now. This is a preview to the film that Randy got me, and it's coming out when in the next couple of months?
Yeah, coming out in June, I think. It'll be before the election, yeah.
It is scary and oh so possible. Here, this is the trailer for the new movie, The Civil War.
19 states have seceded.
The United States Army ramps up activity.
The White House issued warnings to the Western forces as well as the Florida Alliance.
The three-term president assures the uprising will be dealt with swiftly.
Let me know if you want to try anything on.
Are you guys aware there's like a pretty huge civil war going on all across America?
We just try to stay out. With what we see on the news, seems like it's for the best. citizens of America.
The so-called Western forces of Texas and California
have suffered a very great defeat at the hands of the United States military.
Mr. President, do you regret the use of airstrikes against American citizens?
We're moving to D.C. today.
We need to go down there.
They shoot journalists on sight in the Capitol.
Every instinct in me says this is death.
What if...
Every time I survived a war zone, I thought I was sending a warning home. Don't do this. But here we are.
There's some kind of misunderstanding here.
What?
Well, you're American, okay?
Okay. What kind of American are you? You don't know?
The Western forces will reach the White House on July 4th.
Oh, my God.
Get in the car! Get in the car!
You're gonna hang back.
I'm not hanging back.
One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Go, 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 go!
God bless America.
That is scary, man.
Yeah, yeah.
And the images, is fucking scary.
The images too of F-36s strafing freeways clogged with people trying to leave those cities, and you're going, hang on a minute, that's not even red versus blue. That's just blue on blue, and they're just it's just disgusting.
That is Putin's wet dream.
You reckon an American Civil War again?
Oh yeah, that's what Putin wants. That's what Putin wants.
Yowza.
Yeah.
Anyway, if that does, I want to now talk about better films. I suppose everybody's had to go and see Oppenheimer. I think it's like the Titanic. You know the bomb's going to work.
Yeah, so I think Oppenheimer's fantastic.
Save 3 hours.
I'm going to see it again, though. I loved it. I thought it was great. It's going to win Best Picture.
Oh, yeah, great performances in the context of what they're on about.
Robert Downey Jr.
is going to win. You know the outcome.
Robert Downey Jr. is going to win Best Supporting Actor. I think Best Actress.
The Pommy guy is going to win. The guy playing Oppenheimer is an Irishman.
Yes.
Yeah, he's going to win.
Yeah.
But I wanted to talk about another film. That I think I would love to see as the best film, and that's called Poor Things.
Oh, wow. I've heard so many great things about it.
I had a cinegasm. This movie is... well, that's not that kind of movie.
But you there loved is a it. Bit of,
there is a bit of nudity. But it's design, it's acting, it's music, it's cinematography. Everything about this movie is amazingly different.
Well, it's coming to my town next.
It will stay with you for years. And Emma Stone, I think she's the best actress. She's won before.
That's what
she
I've heard.
Should be again. She won for The Favorite. This is the same director as The Favorite, which I thought was a terrific film.
Great movie, The
Favorite. So that's I would like to encourage people to see Poor Things.
I would like to encourage people to see The Holdovers as well.
Yeah.
Which and that's I love.
I just like anything he's in.
Yeah.
But like John Adams and stuff. I mean, the guy's just amazing.
Paul Giamatti,
Giamatti is an amazing actor. But this is the strangest premise. And turns out to be an amazing film, apparently. I haven't seen it. Well, but
I've seen it. I'd see it again. It's great. It is truly great.
Well, I'm going to see Poor Things again.
Okay.
Because I bought it on Apple TV, so I can play it anytime I want. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to plug. I should plug.
A lot of good stuff on Apple TV. Yeah, a lot of good stuff.
So, well, and the other, the third movie, which I've been waiting for years, I suppose. I've got the, Bill's got the trailer. He can play now. That's the musical version of Wicked.
Oh, now, yes.
Wicked, the musical, you know, by Stephen Schwartz. I think it should have won the best musical, but it lost to the one with the Muppets, Avenue Q. But it's an incredible musical. They're actually going to do it in two parts.
Wow.
Which is amazing, because it is an epic. Visually, it's epic.
I've seen the musical. I've seen the music.
Jeff Goldblum is the wizard. He is so evil. Sorry.
I've seen the musical three times.
The stage version. Yeah. It's so, it was so worth it. And these performances, two people you don't expect to be there, Ariel Grande and another black lady, but they and I don't know their names because they aren't everyday names, but they're terrific. And you know, Michelle Yeoh playing the Wicked Witch, or she played Madame Morrible. Anyway, there's some amazing actors around the two playing Elphaba. And so I want you to play this clip if you could, Willie, because I think it just gives you the mood. The design is so steampunk. You will, if you're into steampunk,
which I know one of our fans are.
Like Val yeah. from Glens Falls.
You love it, Val.
She will go and see it 10 times, I reckon.
Okay. So here it is, folks. Here it is, before we leave, the preview for Wicked.
The best way to bring folks together.
Something has changed within
me. Is to give them a real good enemy.
Ah! You're green.
I am.
Something is not the same.
Something just takes over me. And when it does, bad things happen.
Once you learn to harness your emotions, the sky's the limit.
Bring her to me.
Afraid. It's the wizard who should be afraid of me.
And there it is. There it is. And
defying gravity. Yes, it's that's the end of the show.
That's the end of the show, guys. Listen, thank you very much for tuning in, everybody. Okay, well, listen, we'll be back with you next time for more politics. Hopefully, a little bit more cheerful news. And we love you. We'll take care. We'll see you next time.
Bye. Bye.
Good night. Good night. Until we meet again. Adios. Au revoir. I'll be the same till then. And though it's always sweet sorrow to part,
you know you'll always remain in my heart.
Good night. Tight and pleasant dreams to you. Here's a wish and a prayer that every dream comes true. And now till we meet again. Adios, au revoir, I'll be the same. Good night.